critical web accessibility tips. Hello, and welcome to WebAx episode 20. Practical web accessibility tips. This is your host, Dennis, and today I will be going through some acronyms that pertain to just web development and web accessibility, and defining those acronyms if you may or may not have heard them, and maybe throwing in a little opinion on where that area is going. Okay, so let's get started. The first one is the W3C. Hopefully you've heard of them. That's the stands for the World Wide Web Consortium, and they are the official keepers of web standards and sets the rules and definitions for things like CSS and XHTML and all these other languages and technologies in order to make the web better for everyone, although they are rather slow and tedious in their processes. And the organization is made up of a bunch of different representatives and companies throughout the world, and which probably makes, you know, the process long and difficult, but they're doing their best, and so far so good. Now, it gets a little complicated with what they're doing. The next acronym is WAI, the Web Accessibility Initiative. And that's the name that the W3C gave, like their movement, for web accessibility. So if you go to the W3.org, that's the W3C website, and if you go to W3.org/WAI, that's the Web Accessibility Initiative website, and there you will find the WCAG, the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines. And 1.0 of these guidelines has been around for a while, since 99, I believe, and they're just about ready to release 2.0, version 2.0 of the guidelines, and check it out. There's been some controversy over it and everything, but, you know, whatever. Okay, so let's switch gears. The next acronym, sort of, is WebAIM, WebAIM, which stands for Web Accessibility in Mind, and I have referenced this site as well as the W3 sites in previous podcasts. WebAIM, actually, they just relaunched their website at webaim.org, and it's a little cleaner, a little more Web 2.0 looking. But I really like that site, and you know, they're obviously totally focused on just, you know, web development and multimedia development with accessibility in mind. All right, the next acronym is XHTML. And that stands for Extensible Hypertext Markup Language. And let's see, along with CSS, cascading style sheets, XHTML really is it's the newest version of HTML, I guess you could say, or it's kind of a cross between HTML and XML. And it really is a big step towards the future of the web and, you know, separating the content from style and all this other stuff that the direction that the web is going, and that you will find some of that content in my previous podcasts and blog entries. Okay, next is DHTML, and that stands for Dynamic HTML, which, I mean, it's kind of an outdated way of programming now. It it combines JavaScript with like div tags and some like spans and some old CSS features to make some nifty presentation. And it really is getting outdated. It doesn't really use the DOM, which is a much better way to do JavaScript programming, and it doesn't really, it's not very cross browser or cross platform effective. So I, as far as going towards the future, I would try to stay away from DHTML. The next term is DOM, which I've just mentioned, and that is the document object model. And what that really means is, for example, in JavaScript programming, when you're using the DOM, you're actually changing the elements of the page, rather than with like DHTML, you're just like hiding them and showing them and just kind of manipulating them. But if you're actually using the DOM, you're actually manipulating the real structure of the elements on the page. Anyways, there's a lot more you could say about that, but DOM stands for Document Object Model. And, you know, if you think I've misspoke about something or if I left something out with these terms, you know, please feel free to go to webax.blogspot.com and, you know, give me your opinion. Or any kind of feedback is welcome, of course. The next acronym is ALT, A-L-T. And it's really like, it's called the ALT, a lot of people call it the ALT tag. And it really stands for alternative text. But it's not really a tag, it's actually an attribute that goes inside the image tag of the HTML. And that provides alternative text for the image. So if the image is not shown for one reason or another, then the alternative text would still be there to define that image. And of course, that's one of the number one rules for web accessibility. And if you haven't listened to some of my previous podcasts, you will know that I'm a strong advocate of making sure you use the ALT attribute. CSS, Cascading Style Sheets. I'm sure you've heard of that, if you're an expert or not. And that is kind of the other half of XHTML and using web standards and everything and separating style from content. Well, the content is in your XHTML. I might not have mentioned that earlier, but the style is in your CSS, your Cascading Style Sheet. So basically what that is you know, there's just text files like XHTML or HTML files or JavaScript files, but they have the extension of .css, their style sheets, and they describe what all your semantic markup should look like and should be displayed. So if a site has its content completely separate from the style sheets, from the style, then if you turn off the style sheets, and this is one way of checking for certain things and bugs, but if you turn off the CSS, some features or browsers or plugins, you could turn off the CSS, and you will see only the semantic markup, which is pretty interesting sometimes. Okay, the next acronym is 508. It's not really an acronym, but abbreviation, really. And that stands for Section 508 of the Amended Rehabilitation Act of the United States federal government, which was created in 1998. I'm looking at this, the site right now. And basically that's a federal law in the United States which requires any federal website or federally funded website to be compliant to Section 508 and the standards, which basically outlines, you know, accessibility rules and guidelines. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they're coming out with a new version of the standards. So I'll have to look more into that. Okay, AJAX. Now, AJAX doesn't particularly have to do with accessibility, but is a very, very popular buzzword lately, and a newly named way of programming things. And Ajax, A-J-A-X, stands for Asynchronous JavaScript and XML. And basically what it means is, if you've been to a web page and say you filled out some kind of form, and then instead of the page like reloading, it just automatically gives you feedback in that little area or whatever of the form, without the page reloading or anything else changing. And that's, if you've seen that, that's probably using some kind of Ajax application, which is pretty neat because, you know, it's fast and it's just really convenient and cool and fairly new as far as in popularity goes. But there are accessibility issues with that. It kind of breaks the whole way that a web page is designed to work. And that's a whole nother story. But the reason I put that in this list is because it's kind of controversial right now as far as the accessibility for Ajax and what how developers should program for that to make websites accessible. Okay, SEO, that's another acronym that's not directly related to accessibility, but very important and very popular, search engine optimization. And SEO is a way of coding your website, not necessarily really far out crazy tricks, hopefully, but just creating your website so that search engines, so that's friendly to search engines and spiders, so that your site can be listed and listed appropriately on search engines and directories or whatever. You know, some of the things that it's referring to when you're doing SEO is just making sure you have the metadata and an appropriate page title, and make sure your markup is semantic and that you've got certain keywords, you know, listed in different areas and things like that, so that again, so search engines and spiders can find your website and you know, search and archive the page accordingly, so that when people do a search for certain content that they find your page. And this is becoming more important because, you know, search engines like Google or whatever, like, don't only pay attention to, like, keywords and metadata, like keywords and description tags anymore, because you could just put in whatever you want in there. But really, nowadays, the more modern technique for Google and other search engines is to look at the content of your page and the title of your page, and to make sure that, you know, everything's hunky-dory and that the right content is on that page. Okay, just a couple terms left. The next one, HCI, it's an acronym. Human-computer interaction. And you don't see a lot in the web world, but as far as in the academic world, it's pretty big. That's actually a graduate program I was looking into at University of Michigan. They have a pretty good one that I have a friend who almost completed the course. But anyways, so if you see that term, that's what it is, human-computer interaction. You find some interesting books on that also. The last term, USA, is something that I've created and I'm writing an article about. And this is actually about the company I started this year, Check Engine USA. And USA stands for Usability, Standards, and Accessibility. And that's my mantra for designing websites. That's kind of just what I've learned to learn and to love, and just, I think, with the way the web is going now, I think that's a really good way to go, you know, especially for the user. And again, well, since this is an accessibility podcast and blog, you'll be hearing about accessibility, but it kind of, all three areas kind of cross over and help each other out. And the more you learn about it, the more you understand that usability, standards, and accessibility all kind of go together. So that's what I call it, USA. So maybe that term will get more popular. And again, once if I finish that article and get it out, I will put a link on the blog here, webax.blogspot.com, for everyone to check out. Okay, again, go to the website if you have any comments or want to find some of the links to these terms that I spoke about. And once again, thank you for listening. I'll catch you next time. Visit WebAx at webax.blogspot.com. That's webaxe.blogspot.com. Grab your RSS and Atom feed here. You can also leave a comment or send Dennis an email. The email address is webax@odmag.com. So that's webaxe@odmag.com.